Let's all stand. Thank you for being here. We will not be long. I want us to be able to stay here and have a little bit of prayer with our classes. By the way, during the prayer meeting, the Patch the Pirate will still be going on. The nurseries will still be open, so don't worry about your children. Teenagers will have a spot for you too. Turn to John chapter 1. We're going to talk very specific tonight. We're going to talk about Friend Day. Friend Day is a very important day. We have many people in our church who started coming on Friend Day. We had Brother Beck just mentioned a whole family, really. Now, Kevin started coming back a little later, but he had been coming on Friend Days, your parents and yourself, and of course, Brother Ross invited you, so maybe it's not always a good thing, but sometimes it works out. But we want to talk a little bit so that we're ready. So we're going to have a little bit more of a focused message tonight. I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll be good. John chapter 1 and verse 35 says this: "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Let's pray, and then we'll be seated, and you'll want to leave your Bible open to John chapter 1. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray as we just share some thoughts about a very important day in our church, Friend Day. Lord, really the principles don't only apply to Friend Day. We invite people all year long. I pray you'd help us to get what you have for us tonight and give us a great, great harvest next week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, here, John, who was the precursor to Christ, he was the one who would prepare the way for Christ, and now he points out who Jesus is to two of his followers. He had folks that were following him, and those men now leave, and they now follow Jesus because John personally pointed them to Christ. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 40. John chapter 1 verse 40. We'll read several verses here, and then we'll give you some points. John chapter 1 and verse 40, it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." One of the two who John had pointed to Christ was Andrew. So what does Andrew do? Andrew goes and finds his brother, Peter, and brings him to Christ. Peter is one of the great pillars of the early church, and he was brought by his brother who invited him to come to Christ. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 43. "The next day following, Jesus would go from Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." Jesus is even inviting people to come. Okay, he says, hey, no one else needs to bring you to me. I'm already here. Let's go. Follow me. So even Jesus believed in Friend Day. Amen? So Philip follows the invite, personally accepts the invitation, and he follows Jesus. Look at verse 44. "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip, who Jesus just called out, findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So now Philip, who Jesus said come, now he goes out and he finds Nathanael. Do you notice the theme there? Turn over to John chapter 4, please. We'll read a couple more verses. John chapter 4. Speaking of Jesus here, the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. John chapter 4 and verse 4. "And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, Samaria was not his destination. It was kind of out of the way where he was going, but he purposely had to go through Samaria because there was someone there that needed him. "Then cometh he," verse 5, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me drink." Now we won't read through the rest of the story, but he goes back and forth with her. And he leads her to himself. He gives her an invitation. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This here is the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27 will start. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he fell among three thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So this man is beaten on the road. Traveling could be very dangerous in those times. And they left him here half dead. Maybe they thought he was dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So the priest didn't care. He said, oh, I'm going the other direction. And likewise a Levite, for lack of a better term, another guy in the religious tribe, the tribe that would serve the Lord, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by another side. This guy obviously came and took a little bit of a deeper work and said, yeah, I don't want to be involved with this, and he went to the other side. But a certain Samaritan, by the way, they were half-breeds, they were looked down upon, as he journeyed, just in the course of his life, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Just a Samaritan on his way sees this man laying there in a bad state, and he goes to help him. He had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. Now we know the story of the Good Samaritan well. The 3 came by, 2 could care less. 1, who probably of all of them should not have cared, did care. He knew he could not physically help the man. He did not know much. He did what he could. But he brought him somewhere where he knew he could get help. Yes, sir. Luke chapter 14. We'll read these verses and then we'll give you some points and so forth. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16 will begin. By the way, it's always good to have your Bible with you in church. Okay, see, I don't have a Bible. I think you ought to get one and always have it with you and be looking at it and learn from it and get in it and get familiar with it. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. So they go around and, hey, you've been already been invited. The supper's ready. Come on, let's go. And when they all with one consent began to, make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. By the way, probably you don't wait till you after you bought something to go see it, okay? That's called an excuse. If you're going to have an excuse, at least make a good one. I pray thee, have me excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. You know, I bought these animals. I hope they can do work. Now that I bought them, I want to go out and see if they really can do work. That's a lame excuse first. Also, you would go and make sure the animals are already in good. So that's a lame excuse. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That's legit, all right? And nothing you could do about that one. She wouldn't let him. Say, what's that all about? I'm not going to say. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly. Man, people that were bitten, they're not coming. Go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in thither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He goes, listen, the people that were invited don't want to come. Go get whoever you can and bring them in. Let's get them here. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I like that. Let's apply that to church. Let's go get people. Let's get them into God's house. In this parable, the fact that those who were bitten rejected didn't stop the invitation. You take the invitation to everybody. There's always room, as he said. And then one more verse. Let me quote this to you. Why did Jesus come? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The purpose that Jesus came was to seek after those who had no salvation. They were lost in their sin, and they needed to be sought. They were not going to come rushing to him. By the way, you look, oh, in the Bible, all these crowds came to Jesus. Many of them came because it was an anomaly or some type. Well, what's going on there? People that need help, we need to go get them. Jesus had a plan for our life. He had a plan for our eternal salvation, and he paid for it with his own life. The point is clear if we read all these verses. People need Christ, and we need to go get them. They're not going to come beat. Now, we do what we can. We pass out tracts, advertise, we'll do all that stuff we can to get people in here. They're not just going to come here because got to go get them. And you say, well, it's hard. Where are they? Everywhere. You go to Starbucks, they're there. Okay? You go to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, which is better than Starbucks. They're there. Okay? You go to It's a Grind. Man, they shouldn't be there. That place is horrible. If they go to McDonald's, they need Jesus desperately because they're dying soon. I knew you had that. You say, what's all McDonald's all about? Remember the pony rides? Just to let you know, they're now on the menu, okay? That's what Friend Day is all about. It's us trying to do what we can to get people to Jesus. You say, well, we're not necessarily getting them Jesus, we're getting them to church. Hey, that's a good place to get them started. I got saved because somebody brought me to church on a big day. It was Easter Sunday, it wasn't Friend Day, and my friend, Joe Esposito, now Pastor Esposito, brought me to church on that Easter Sunday, 19, a long time ago, and I got saved on that day, okay? I was 2 years old. I crawled down the aisle. They changed my diaper. They led me to Jesus, and it was all good. Just put the wig back on and be quiet, okay? Thanks. Now, we invite people all the time, but once a year we promote it big. And so I want to go over I want to give you some points on Friend Day and how it can be how we can be involved in 15 minutes. You say, you're going to take a whole message? Yeah, it's that important. And it's a biblical concept, okay? It just is. Everywhere you look in the Bible, people were bringing people to Jesus. They were going and getting them. Number one, it's a key way in which we obey the Great Commission and the admonition of the verses we read. Now, we all understand the Great Commission. Go and baptize and teach and just all of that. We understand the Great Commission. We understand Acts 1:8. But it all starts with one key point. Go. The Great Commission, as we understand, has 4 points. We're to go, we're to teach, to show them the gospel, we're to get them baptized, and then after that, we continue teaching them so they grow in their faith so that one day they'll go out and share the gospel with other people. But if we stop if we don't do the first point, nothing else happens. Nothing. We must go. We must see it as our personal responsibility as a church and as an individual to share the gospel, invite people to the Lord, or worst case scenario, invite them to church and maybe they'll meet the Lord here. That is our job. If it doesn't happen, it's because we're aborting it at the first point. Friend Day helps to bring that to our minds. We've got to get out and get the gospel. So it's a key way in which it helps us to start to be obedient to the Great Commission. We don't have much time here. I'm going to hurry. Number two, because everybody who comes to Christ and most people who come to a church or show up at church, they do it because someone has invited them. Whenever I meet new people that show up to church, I'll be out here, I'll meet them. My first question is, how did you hear about our church? Who invited you? And almost always, they'll say, somebody came by my door and gave me an invitation, or my friend so-and-so invited me. Now, this morning, we had an anomaly. A man came to the service. I just happened to be walking out here, coming into the service, and I met him. How'd you hear about our church? He says, you know, I drive this way all the time, and I've been seeing this church, and I was going to come by and get it a visit. So the church building invited him on accident. That's very rare, though. Okay? Sometimes people have problems in their life, and it's like, I need the Lord. And so they don't know. They'll look up in a book and find our church or look online. That's rare. The majority of you, if I were to ask you, and you think in your mind, you either started coming to church or you got saved and came to the Lord, however you met him, it started with somebody inviting you or trying to work on you to bring you to Christ or to bring you to church. That's how it works. And Friend Day helps us with that. John chapter 3, the verses we know, Jesus gives an invitation that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gives us an invitation for salvation? What if no one had given you an invitation? Think about that. Why do people come to church? They simply come for one reason, because they're asked. You know, I wonder sometimes, and we all need to think about this, I wonder how many people who would come to the Lord or come to the church, and we walk by them on a regular basis, and probably myself, not probably, myself included, and we just didn't ask them that time. I wonder if there's someone that would be sitting in here right now, a core person, and God brought them our way, and for whatever reason, we didn't invite them, we didn't give an invitation, we may have been busy in life, and maybe that person would have came if someone did, and we didn't know it because we didn't take the time out to invite them, and we're all guilty of that. And so Friend Day helps us with that. We don't want to let those, we don't let those who don't want what we're trying to offer keep us from offering it. Usually during the week here, I get in my office, I don't want to just sit, so I'll walk around the block real quick, get the juices flowing, usually around lunchtime. So when I walk, I'll just invite people to church. And I was walking over here, and there was a guy walking, and I thought, you know, I'll invite him to church. Now, I should have already thought, you know, something was different. He was itching his back on the lamppost. I'm like, okay, that's a little different, you know. And he started moving his leg like the dogs do, you know. And like, hey, how you doing? Let me give an invitation to church. And he just stared at me and walked right by. Didn't say a word, didn't move. I'm like, okay, thank you. Have a great day. Sometimes people are like that. A lady was sitting on a bench. Usually they're sitting on the bus bench. They'll take an invitation. Hey, you want an invitation? No. Okay, thanks for, you know, okay, God bless you. Just because someone's rude to us or mean and doesn't want it, that's rare. Most people will take an invitation. Well, I had this, you know, and it doesn't happen often. I'm not trying to scare you one by one. It doesn't happen often. But we were soul winning over here for one by one, one of the last times we did it. And, man, I heard this loud bang. And I looked over to our person on the cross the street, and I said, what happened? He goes, they slammed the door. It's like, man, the whole neighborhood here. It's rare that happens. Rare. But don't let a bad experience stop you. There are people out there that want it. There are a lot of people out there that need it. And so we need to do it. If they're not invited, they won't come. That's just the way it works. Number three, we're making good time here. Because most people who come to church or Christ do it not just because they're invited, but because a lot of times it's somebody they already know invites them. In other words, we need to take advantage of those relationships that God brings into our life. Whether, look, if you go to a grocery store and, you know, maybe you shop at the same place. My wife likes to shop at a place called Vitamin City. It's a little small little vitamin shop, and they have, like, organic stuff there, and they have the non-pasteurized milk that she likes. Whatever, you know, and so she goes in there all the time, and it's a small little place. There's a couple, they know her well, and she's invited them to church or whatever. But you have places like that too, and they know you. Why not take advantage of the opportunity? Hey, you know what, we're having a friend day, or hey, let me give you an invitation to our church. See, you have a little more trust factor. Now, we knock on doors, and by the way, that works. We have a lot of people that come to church because we knocked on their door, or they weren't there, and we left an invitation, and they got an invitation, and they came. But you know what's a little more effective? When they get to know you. And there are people you know. By the way, those of you who are newer Christians, you have a lot more contacts out there than those of us that have been Christians forever do. Okay? I have friends, and I pretty much exhausted them. They've come to church. Now, when I first got saved... When I first got right with God as an 18-year-old and started coming to church, I had a bunch of friends that didn't come to church, and I had people coming all the time, okay? But after a while, I went through those. Now we go out, and God leads up. Maybe it's where you work, someone that knows you at your work. They have a little more relationship with you, and if you've not been a horrible testimony, you have a little more clearance to maybe invite them, and maybe they'll listen a little bit more. So take advantage of them. People, somebody has called it friends. Friends, relatives, associates, or neighbors. Those we have contact with. And let's use that to let them know we're Christians and invite them to church. Number four. This is a good one. Because whenever someone comes to church, there is a chance that they'll meet Christ and have their life changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Brother Ross invited Brother Beck for Friend Day, he never realized that one day he'd be on staff. He was just trying to get someone here for Friend Day because he had to have someone here for Friend Day. Now, he did care about them because they're kind of related. They're friends-in-law. No, they're related, married to the same sisters. Maybe that person you invite, you thought that, you know, they may come to church, but listen, when someone gets saved, the opportunity's there. They're a new person. But it's not going to happen if we don't invite them. Think about it. There are good people out there that we come in contact with, and some of them are trusting in their own goodness or something else to take them to heaven, and it's not going to get them there. You know what? They might come that day and have their destiny changed, and they'll meet Jesus Christ. There are people out there that are hurting, and they wonder how they're, you don't know what's going on in their life, and they're wondering, how am I going to get through this week? Where am I going to get the strength to go on, and how can I get through this situation? They may come to church, find Jesus Christ, and find that strength they thought they would never have. There are people that are addicts who need to be freed from the chains of their sin. And it may not be an addiction like we think of RU. It could be something else deep down inside we don't know about. Maybe some sin that's been bothering them. They thought, man, I just can't get over this and just a part of my life. And they'll come to church on that Sunday and meet Jesus Christ, and that chain will be broken. There are married couples out there. They still might be together, but they're headed down that path to a bitter ending. The love is gone, and they don't even have the slightest idea how to fix their marriage. They have no idea that things can be good. They might meet Jesus Christ that day, and everything has changed. There are children who need parents to stay together and give them godly direction. They might find it on that day. There are people, many people, most of the people in our world, they have no purpose in life. Their biggest purpose is, did my football team win today? You look, if you're a Raider fan, let me answer that for you. No. And they're probably never going to win. Okay? The Cowboys are winning. Can I say something? Who cares? Now, look, I'm a Chargers fan. I used to be a Rams fan, but they blew that. I'm glad they're losing. But, you know, they've lost two in a row. Okay, I'm not suicidal. Hey, if they win, great. If not, bummer. It's not my life. I'm not getting a Chargers tattoo. Although that powder blue is kind of cool. Maybe I'll get one right here. Just kidding. I'll get a temporary one. Put it on my forehead. No. You know, everybody gets on the Dodgers that the Dodgers are all, the Dodger fans are all gangbangers, but the Angel fans are high class. No joke. This has nothing to do with measure. I thought it was interesting. A couple years ago, my wife and I were having dinner at a restaurant in Anaheim, and there was a guy with a shaved head and a big Angel tattoo on his forehead. I'm like a displaced Dodger fan. Just kidding. I was going to take a picture and say, see, the Angels are gangbangers too. Tell everybody. But, you know, some people, that's their purpose in life. Their identity is some sports team or some this or some that, something that has no meaning. Man, why don't we help them find a real purpose in life? Jesus Christ. They just get up and wander through life here to there, just trying to make it through the day, get the bills paid, hope my wife and I aren't going at it tonight. They can meet Jesus Christ. There are people who are depressed. They need inspiration. Jesus can give them inspiration. There are people that are sad, that are looking, and they're looking for, as we mentioned this morning, they're living their lives looking for pleasure when you'll never find it living for yourself, but Jesus Christ offers eternal joy. Maybe they'll find it on that day. There are people that are stressed out, and they're looking for peace. And by the way, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they'll never have peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. You're kind of stressing me out. All right. I liked it better when you were sitting on the patio. We could just close the windows. Yeah, I bet. God can change their life. Not all will take the opportunity, but some will. Number five, it reminds us to do what we should be doing all the time. Man, now you know, I got to have a friend next week. I don't want to be one of the only ones to not have a friend. I'm going to go sign somebody up. My Sunday school teacher has been bothering me to make sure I have somebody with me next Sunday. Hey, I like that little frenzy we get. We're all going at it. Now, we'll come on Tuesday nights, and I'll ask people for my class. You got any contracts? You got any contracts? Okay, give me two by Thursday. Okay, a little pressure, a little friendly. But you know what? We ought to be inviting people all the time. And it kind of gets us in that habit of, you know, hey, giving someone an invitation. It's not that hard to give out a card. By the way, you can use our tracks too. We have fall tracks. But we should be doing that all the time. Fact of the matter is, we shouldn't have a friend day. One time we ought to have a friend year. Okay? But always inviting somebody whenever you're walking around, whatever you're doing. Number six, and we're tying it up here. Because it gives us the opportunity to get people to our Sunday school classes. Okay? Get them to Sunday school. Now, this is not Sunday school workshop, but let me say this. People who come to church and don't go to Sunday school don't stay in church. They have no friends. They have to have friends. Just because you get Jesus doesn't mean you give up friends. You just need new friends. You need new relationships. It's hard to find in a service. You come to a service here on Sunday morning and everybody's rushing from everywhere and it's crowded in here. And if they don't get here in time, they're stuck outside on the patio. And it's when you go to Sunday school class, it's a smaller group. They can meet. Someone's going to notice them. Someone's going to maybe sit with them, maybe talk to them, make them feel welcome, which is what we should be doing. Get them to Sunday school. It's a place where people can make friends. And then the last thing is this. It gives all of us an opportunity to have a part. It gives us all an opportunity to have a part. Now, let me just give you, and I've mentioned several of these, but I just want to tell you, here's how you can help next week. This is all in here. How can you have a part? First of all, bring a friend with you to your Sunday school class. Okay? You let them know where to meet. Say, you know, our Sunday school class is here. Look for me. I'm usually around this place. When you come, ask for me. If you don't see me, some will show you where we're going. But bring a friend with you to class. Now, if you're going to have somebody, you're going to have probably five invitations to get one or two, three people. Sometimes they all come. That's great. But bring somebody with you. Hey, help your class. Bring some refreshments next week. Now, all of our classes right now, we're going through the fall program, and you have the extra food, and people are having our class. We always have the best food brought that day, and if someone brings something and puts gravy on it, they automatically win. Okay, gravy makes food better. If you add gravy and you add bacon, winner, winner. Okay, that's it. That's how it works. That's what God says somewhere in his word. I'll find it later. Okay, so you're going to have, if you have all these friends in here, they're not bringing food. Hey, let's have some refreshments with them. People are more comfortable when they're standing around eating a little something, having some coffee, and they get to talk to each other, and they're meeting some folks. Help out. Bring a little extra refreshments that week. Come early. Please do not be late. You say, you know, I'm just one of those people, I just have a tendency to be a little bit late to things. Don't change your clock next week, okay? Get an old school alarm clock. That's not automatically tied to the internet, so it doesn't automatically change, and get here and help your class. Greet and be friendly to everybody. Amen. Ask their name, which, by the way, their name is not brother. How you doing, sister? They're like, I'm not related to you. In fact, if I was, that'd be scary, okay? By the way, in Sunday school classes, we do this every year, have name tags. Why? You go to a restaurant or something, I'll say, hey, how you doing, Tom? How'd you know my name? It's like, you forgot, you have your name tag on. Snap out of it, all right? Have name tag. But ask them, what's your name? Also, then use it and say, hey, my name's Tom. How you doing? I'm so glad you came, Tom. So, Tom, who invited you? So where do you live, Tom? Okay, say it four times, you're going to get that thing down, all right? What's your name again? Sometimes... You forget someone's name. How do you spell that again? J-O-H-N, John. No, I meant the last name, Smith, S-M-I-T-H. Don't do that one. It doesn't work either. Be friendly to everybody. Next, sit with your friends. Be with them. Okay, get them a place, sit with your friends, make them feel comfortable, invite them to, when you're walking by, hey, Brother Rob, this is my friend Bill. This is Nathan Ross. Invite them to people. Make them feel, look, if you invited me over your house for dinner, I would hope that when I showed up, you expected me to come. You know, you'd show up and the house is dirty. It's like, oh, you actually came. Yeah, I did. You invited. Oh, yeah. Go, come on in. Here, let me go to thaw some chicken. Okay. We're going to be there for a while. I would hope you would say, come on in, have a seat. Would you like something to drink? Not the stuff you've been drinking. Would you like something to drink? Dinner will be ready in 5 minutes. Those are the sweetest words on earth. What are we having tonight? Gravy with bacon. I'm in love. Okay, let's get back to the message. We're done. Listen, next Sunday is Friend Day. Let's have a great day. It is a wonderful opportunity to meet, to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all have to do our part. I'm telling you, let's have a, you know, let's have a last week push. Let's push, let's push. Pray, God, show me someone today who I can invite to Friend Day. Let's pray.